C'est là?
Right, can you guys hear me? Lekker, that's it, that's it. So once again, good evening everyone. As it's already mentioned, my name is Godfrey Magao and I am one of the elders here at Jos Gen. 4 p.m. and it's an amazing privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you this afternoon. And I must say, I was speaking to my wife earlier and said, it's so scary for me every time that I get an opportunity to share the Word of God, because I realize just the weightiness that it is to stand up front here and to share a word. What scares me the most, if I may be vulnerable, is a lot of times I'll go out of, you know, services like this after having preached the Word of God, and then I'll hear someone outside of just the normal, you know, church meeting and so forth saying, you know, Godfrey preached and he said, you know, and they'll base their whole kind of theology or their own thinking or just whatever they're going through in their lives, they'll base it on what I said. And I'm like, it's really scary that I need to count my words and need to make sure that every time I stand here, that whatever it is that I'm delivering will be a word that comes straight from God's heart. And Paul says, I come with words, not of eloquence, lest people actually put their faith on the wisdom of men rather than the faith of God. So what I'm hoping for this evening is that after all of this, that your faith will be rested in the person of Jesus. That we'll go out of here saying, man, we heard God and we know what it is that he's asking of us. And that's actually the thing that counts most. So this evening I'm going to speak about pursuing God. Or this whole idea of seeking God. And I think it's so interesting that even just now with worship, it felt like there's a little bit of a heaviness or just something that I was just picking up. And I think it's really moments like this actually that helps us and that trains us to be able to pursue and to go after God, regardless of our emotions, regardless of where we find ourselves, regardless of what it is that is going on in our lives, that we can find ourselves in a space of really going after the person of Jesus. And while I was just preparing this, I was actually reminded of my uni days. I won't say when I studied or when I was a student, but I'll just say it's a few years ago, okay? I was just reminded these days, one of the things, the best things that could have ever happened to me is, in my uni days, I found the love of my life, which is Buitumelo. Some of you guys know her. And I think I'm just going to take this handheld mic. That's fine, excellent, maybe. Can you guys hear me without the mic? Okay, great. Wow. And I was just reminded on just when Tumi and I met. I remember just fixing my eyes on Tumi and just seeing her on campus. We were doing what we call reg at those days, and we used to build like these big floats. And my res was like, we took this thing seriously. Like it was an idol in my res. We won it for like 10 years in a row. So every year it would be mandatory that we win this thing. And I remember just being at the rag farm and I'm seeing this girl and something in me says, man, there's something special about this girl. I don't know her. I don't know what she's all about. I don't know what her life is all about, but there's something special about her. And then when Tumi and I then started knowing each other as friends, man, I pursued this girl hard. Like, I remember the first time we met, I was a very broke student. So the first time we met, I had a Ceres box of juice. You know those small, like, Ceres boxes of juice? I mean, that's the only thing that I could afford, you know, to meet this girl. And that was the first time that I would meet her. So who makes an impression with the boxy Ceres juice? You know, but it worked. Eh? A couple of years now, we've been married for 6 years, so it worked. But I remember those early days of Tumi and I getting to know each other. Guys, I promise you, my schedule on campus revolved around this girl. Like, I would check my schedule, where my classes are, which venues my classes are going to be, and I would figure out, like, is there a way that in between my classes I can quickly just sneak up to her res, quickly just see her, you know, and then go back. It really felt like everything in me, in a sense, was really desiring to pursue this girl, desiring to be with her. And when I would spend time with her, man, it would be sweet times. It would be amazing, amazing times, and I was smitten. You know, no time was ever boring with this girl. And it's interesting how I would rearrange my schedule. I remember there was a time when it was raining and I still, you know, like would go meet up with this girl. You know, that's how infatuated I was with this girl. There was something in me that says,
I think I found the love of my life, and I need to pursue this girl however I can. And I think the same thing happens with us when it comes to God. Obviously, a million times better. There's something in us that needs to awaken to say, man, I want to pursue God. I want my whole life to revolve around the person of Jesus. I want my schedule. I want every single thing that I do to make sure that it's lined up to pursue this person of Jesus. And there are so many verses in the Bible that encourages us where it actually tells us to seek God. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek God and his face and seek his presence continually. So we are called to seek God continually. And even in the New Testament, we see this idea of seeking God and seeking his kingdom, and actually Jesus and his kingdom being the pearl of great price. So in a sense, our lives need to be geared up to make sure that we do pursue this person of Jesus. The first thing that I would like to look at is, I want us to look at the story, a very unique story of a man called Zacchaeus. Okay, and I want us to go through this story actually and see what can we learn about pursuing the person of Jesus. So what I'm going to start off with is I'm just going to read this verse so that we all get the context of what this is all about. And then from there on, we'll just look at quickly just four things of what we can learn of what it looks like to pursue Jesus by looking at a life of a man who was despised, a man actually who didn't know God, a man who was a chief tax collector, and a chief tax collector would be Jews in those times that worked actually to take taxes from the Jewish people, and people hated tax collectors. When these guys would walk in the streets, people would literally spit on the floor. They were seen as the scum of the community. That's how people hated them. But I think there's something unique tonight of what we can learn of this man, you know, who didn't know God, but who had a desire to be with God, and then we'll see what it is that we can glean from that. Is that okay? Awesome. Let's look at this. So Luke 19 from verse 1. He entered Jericho, Jesus, and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. And then the last verse says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So I want us to just take a glimpse of just the scripture and see what it is that we can learn of what it looks like actually to desire Jesus and to go after him. And the first thing that I want to focus on is we need to have a desire to go after God. We need to have a desire to pursue God. That's where it all started. There's a hunger and a thirst that needs to be in us as sons and daughters of God to be with the person of Jesus. Even as we look at John 15, it says, Jesus says, abide in me and I will abide in you. So he's not calling us to abide in him, but we see a God who actually desires to abide in us. And this breaks my mind. It really breaks my mind. I'm like, it's fine. I understand the fact that I need to abide in God. I understand that part. But that Jesus wants to abide in me, a sinful man like me. I mean, that really breaks my mind. But also what it does, it stirs up a hunger and a thirst and a desire for me to go after Jesus. So as we look at this story, we see a man who had a desire to see Jesus, right? And I'm just gonna read verse 1-3 again. It says, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So this man desired to see Jesus. You know, and then as he's desiring to see Jesus, we see there was distractions. Because he was small in stature, you know, probably people that were in front of him that blocked him from seeing Jesus. And I think as I look at this thing is, I realize that in the life that you and I are living today, that there's so many distractions. That there's so many blockages, actually. There are so many things fighting for our hearts that actually makes us not to desire Jesus. I mean, I can look at a few things just right here in my pocket. This thing, I mean, it's amazing. It's an amazing machine. But it's incredible how this thing actually makes me desire it more than to desire Jesus. And how I see that is I would probably spend more time with this thing than I would praying or spending time in the Word of God. This is how dangerous it is. So this man, he wanted to see Jesus. There were distractions. And there's a quote from a guy called Richard Foster, and he wrote a brilliant book about spiritual disciplines, and it's called Celebration of Discipline. And he says the following. He says, our adversary majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he rests assured. So the enemy who's after you and I, the one who the Bible says he prowls around like a roaring lion, he majors in noise and hurry and crowds. And we constantly find ourselves in a space where we are distracted. We constantly find ourselves in a place where we are busy. We constantly find our place where there's so many things around us that are actually fighting for our attention. And then we lock our eyes and our hearts with those things. And then slowly but surely, we begin to lose our desire for Jesus. And I remember when I was just looking at this thing, I remembered when I was a schoolboy, just after I got saved. So I grew up in a family where I had a concept of who God was, but it was a very traditional family, and it was a syncretic. So we would go to church on a Sunday. We had a concept of who God was, not Jesus or the Holy Spirit, but I knew that there was a God that was alive. And then I remember when I got saved, I was so fired up. You know, like I wanted every single person in my community to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like I would go street from street, literally just preaching, open air. Just making sure that everyone, you know, knows about this person, Jesus. That's how sold out I was. There was a desire in me to say, man, I want everyone to taste what I'm tasting. And I remember some of the things that my friends and I would do is we would go out after school. We would literally go into the bushes. And we would go pray. Like we would walk like 2 kilometers or 3 kilometers outside of the community. And literally where there's nothing and no one. We would cry before God. I mean, as 16 and 17 year olds, we would desire to see Jesus. We would cry. We would be on flat on our face and saying, God, we want to see you. I remember we would go to the worship team practice. And our worship team practice was always chaotic because it wasn't a practice session. It was more of a we're going after God kind of session. Because we would come together and we would start begin to singing songs, and then one song would just go on and on and on, and all of us would just be filled of tears as we say, God, we desire you. We want to come after you. Like everything in us wants to come after you. And this reminds me of David in Psalm 63. He says, oh Lord, you are my God, and earnestly I seek you. He says, my flesh faints for you, and my soul thirsts for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And in a sense, we need to desire God like that. More than water, more than food, more than anything. There needs to be a burning desire in our hearts to be with God. And I want to ask you, just to take a bit of, in a sense, just account this afternoon. How is your life structured? Does it really just, can people see by the way you live your life, by the way they look into your life, that you do desire Jesus? I remember some of the things that would happen as a little boy, teenager, is I would wake up at 12 or at 3 in the morning, and I would think, this is God waking me up. And I would pray, I would read the word, and I would cry before God, man. At 3 in the morning, everyone would be asleep, and there would be this burning desire in me to just be with God. And I must say, if I must admit, when I look back and when I look at my life now, there is something of a dwindling of a desire to be with Jesus. And I constantly have to fight with my heart to say, my heart, you need to be at a place where you do desire Jesus, because he has a desire to meet with you. The second thing that I would like to look at is we need to position ourselves. And in Luke 19, verse 4, we see the following. So it says, "So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way." I want to say that if we have a desire to be with God, I promise you, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what your schedule looks like. You will make a plan to be with God. And as I look again at my time with Tumi, it doesn't matter what would happen. It doesn't matter what would come up. I juggled 3 jobs as a student while Tumi and I were dating. But in between those jobs, man, there was time for Tumi that was scheduled in there. You know, so likewise, we see a man who says, "Okay, I'm small in stature. I can't see Jesus. There's a blockage. There are distractions. But I will climb up because my desire to see Jesus is so much. It burns so much that I would climb up a sycamore tree for me just to have a view of who this Jesus is." And I want to ask, like, does our life look like that? Where we would rearrange things in such a way that, man, I must be with Jesus. I must meet with him. I must be aware of his presence. Does our life look that way? Because I realize in my life is a lot of times I would say when I talk with people, I'd say, man, I'm passionate about God. That I have a desire to be with God. I have a desire 24/7 just to be with the person of Jesus. But then when I would look at my schedule wouldn't reflect that reality. And I really want us to just I don't want anyone to feel to come up tonight, you know, feeling burdened or feeling as if this was condemnation or anything at all. But I really pray that we all go out tonight with a desire, just a renewed thirst, a renewed just burning in our hearts to be with Jesus. And how that manifests itself is our schedules needs to look different. That if we say we want to be with Jesus, then our schedules needs to look like we want to be with Jesus. And I know, especially if you live in a space like Stellenbosch, there are so many things that are happening. Whether it's in our workplaces, whether it's things with family, whether it's things with kids, whether it's things sometimes of the church, it feels like there are so many different things just vying for our attention. But even in that, our priority to be with God needs to be seen by the way that we actually schedule our times. And there's also a thing where we need to come out of our comfort zones. It's incredible how comfort steals away from us being with God. Comfort really steals away from us being with God. And there are so many times where I would say, you know what, I'm going to wake up at 5 in the morning to be with God. And the previous night, I would be fired up and excited, you know, that this is going to be an amazing quiet time. And then I would find myself the following morning, man, as Mike told us last week, that duvet, you know, the spirit of duvet is sometimes so difficult, you know, to just get rid of, you know. And then I would find myself at the place where comfort actually steals from me being with Jesus. And we see in the scripture where it says Jesus would wake up early in the morning to go be with the Father. So why can't we do the same? Regardless of how our days look like, why can't we do the same? Why can't we reschedule and shuffle our things in such a way that we are with Jesus? And something that I started doing recently, which I find so enjoyable, is if you look at my phone, you would see that there are 7 reminders that go off in a day. And this is not because I want to be Oluk, you know, like, or I want to be smart or anything like that. But I realize that I have a tendency to forget entirely about God. I realized that I have a tendency that I would spend time in the morning in prayer and fervently, and I would read the word, and I would be so psyched up. But by 11, the desire had been, you know, it dwindles down. And then by 1, around lunch, I've forgotten entirely. Just about being aware of the fact that God is with me wherever I go. So I started setting reminders, and at first it felt like religion. Like, I felt like, come on, man, why should I set up alarms? But now it's worked in me in such a way that when that alarm, before that alarm goes off, I'm aware of the fact that whether I'm sitting on a desk, whether I'm in the mall, whether I'm in a meeting, wherever I find myself, in that moment, I just suddenly, I'm aware of the fact that God is here right now with me. So can I say a little prayer? You know, one of the things that I do is just say the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. And like, whatever it is, or can I just remind myself of my quiet time this morning and maybe just memorize scripture and go through those scriptures. And then the second thing that I found so enjoyable is if you go into my car and you open up the cabrio, you'll find lots of sticky notes. And these sticky notes have some of the sticky notes have some of your names on it, which is, it's I don't want you to think I'm weird. But it has prayer requests on it. So I realized that I have every day 30 minutes to get to work and 30 minutes to go after. You know, so I can either listen to a podcast or I can, you know, be in my own thoughts, or I can listen to the radio, whatever it is, or I can actually write down prayer requests, and immediately when I get into my car, then I start calling the name of the Lord on people's behalf, or the eldership team, or whatever it is, and this helped me tremendously, because when I step into my car and I see those sticky notes, it's like a reminder that goes up automatically to say, you need to be with Jesus right now. You need to be aware of the fact that in this car right now, so that's why I call my car the prayer room. That is my prayer room. Is every time I just open the door, it's like automatically a switch goes off in my mind to say, this is my time with God. Whether it's a 15-minute drive to a meeting, whether it's a 30-minute drive to home, I'm suddenly aware of the fact that I can take advantage of this time to be with God. So we need to position ourselves. What is it going to take for you to position yourself? What thing needs to take second place in order for you, again, to get the priority right? We do idolize things sometimes, right? Whether it's the gym, whether it's times with friends, and all of these things are good things. Obviously, you need to go to the gym. Obviously, you need to go spend time with friends. But all of these things need to be subservient, you know, to your times with God. Does it make sense? So the first thing the third thing that we see is, we need to believe in our hearts that, man, when we go after God, that we will find Him. We need to believe with everything in our hearts to say, man, whether I'm in a good space, whether I'm not in a good space, but we need to believe that as I seek God, that He has made a promise to me that when I seek Him, that I will find Him. And guys, for me, I feed on this. Like, I remind God daily as if He has amnesia. Obviously, God doesn't forget. But I remind Him daily to say, God, I know right now that my heart doesn't want to seek You, but I am going to seek You. And thank You that You promised me that I will find You when I seek You with my whole heart. And I'll just read us a couple of scriptures that actually shows this so that you see it's not something that I'm just sucking from my thumb. So in Luke 19, verse 5 to 6, it says, and when Jesus came to the place, He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Guys, Jesus could have stopped at any other place. There were crowds and crowds and crowds that were around him. He could have set his attention on anyone else. But for some reason, Jesus, He redirects His eyes to this man who had a desire to be with Him. How incredible is that? And how encouraging is it to you and I to say that when we position ourselves, and we come with an expectancy to say, when I see God right now, I am going to find Him. How incredible of an encouragement is it that when we seek, we don't just seek in vain, but actually we do find God. So we see let's look at Jeremiah 29, verse 13. So it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Let's look at Luke 11, verse 10. It says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Let's look at another one, James 4, verse 8. It says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Is that enough evidence to say, man, God gives you and I a promise to say, if you seek me, you will find me? And this is not something that just ordained for elders, or that is, you know, for leadership, or no, it's something that is available for all of us, that daily there is a God who desires to be with us, and we need to be aware of that fact. And there's so much more for us. There's so many things that God wants to reveal to us. There's so many parts of Jesus that you and I haven't seen. There's so many glorious things that we are still to behold. And when we come to a place of actually just going after him and knowing that when we go after him, we will find him, guys, we start just seeing things of God that we've never seen before. We start experiencing part of who he is, part of his glory, part of his presence, his joy, his peace, his love, his presence, his kindness that we haven't experienced before. And we will see in a moment just what happens when we find ourselves in the presence of Jesus. But before we get there, A.W. Tozer, in the book, The Pursuit of God, The Human Thirst for the Divine, he says the following. He says, we need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer than our own soul, closer than our most secret thoughts. I'm just going to read it again. We need never shout across the spaces to an absent God. He is nearer than our own soul, closer than our most secret thoughts. So in faith, we need to raise our expectations. I want to say, when was the last time when you woke up in the morning and you were so fired up to be with God that, man, it doesn't matter what would happen, nothing would deter you from just going after him in faith. And knowing that when I seek him, I am going to find him. When was the last time? I don't want to like put anything on you or condemn you or anything like that. But I really truly believe that we need to have that burning desire within us to be with him. Man, there's so many glorious things. And maybe to share a testimony. This week, I was at work and I found myself in a space where I was a bit anxious. For those of you who know what I do, but I work with Christian leaders across South Africa, and we have a retreat center that we run in Franschhoek, and then we bring leaders, and then we take them up, and then we, for whether it's for a weekend or 3 days or whatever, then we work with them, and we empower them, we equip them in whatever way that God would want us to do. And then this week, we had a few leaders that came in. It was about 30-something leaders, and I was about to facilitate this three-day engagement with these guys. And I found myself in such an anxious place because I realized as they stepped in, I realized some of the people that came were people that were in ministry far longer than I had been on this earth. And then all of a sudden, I felt this anxiety just come over my heart. I felt these feelings of insecurity just rest on my heart to say, man, I don't think if I have what it takes to actually pull this thing through. And then I remember the Thursday morning, so they came on Wednesday evening, and I just found this thing very heavy, and I sent messages to me and said, you need to pray. Like, I don't know how I'm going to make these next 3 days. And then I woke up the Thursday morning, and I spent time with God, and I was praying, and I said, God, I come before you right now, and I relinquish every sense of insecurity, any sense of performance, or any sense of I am the one that's going to, you know, change these people, or I'm the one that's going to transform their lives. I release myself actually from those things, and I realize that these people are yours. And guys, I promise you, it was amazing. As I came in and I prayed, immediately something in my heart started shifting. Immediately, something in my heart started shifting. And then all of a sudden, I remembered, hey, I'm a son of God. I don't need to perform to anyone. I don't need to show that I know scripture or I know I have knowledge or whatever it is. I can simply just settle myself in the presence of my Father, and I can watch him do what he does best. So when you raise our expectations to be with God, he surprises us and he meets us. And it's incredible to experience him in that way. And then lastly, we need to be attentive that being with God will change us. We will never ever in our lives spend time with God and not be changed and not be transformed. It's impossible to behold the person of Jesus and to never be changed. And Paul says in Corinthians, he says, we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from one degree to another. So every single time when we spend time with God, we will be changed. And we will see how this manifested itself in Zacchaeus' life. So it says in Luke 19, again, as we look at it, it says, and when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost." So I want to say Zacchaeus had a short-term thing in mind. He simply just wanted to see Jesus. But Jesus longed to actually be with Zacchaeus continually. He actually longed to save him. And that word that says, when Jesus looked to him and said, "I want to stay at your house tonight," that word for stay, it actually means to continue to dwell. It means to continue be with him forever. So that speaks actually of salvation. So while we may have a short-term thing in mind to say, it's just a quiet time that I'm just ticking off my face, or just a prayer time that I'm ticking off my face, God has something entirely in mind, that his desire is actually to be with us continually. How incredible is that the creator of heaven and earth would want to be with you and I? That he knows our lives, he knows what our lives are all about, but yet still with everything in us, he still wants to be with us. So could it be that some of the things that we've battled for a long time, whether it's sin, whether it's strongholds, or whether it's something that we've just felt like, you know, we are not released to fully just serve God. Could it be that as we prioritize our times, as we reshuffle our schedules, as we go after the person of Jesus, so could it be that we would find breakthrough in those areas, just like this man found breakthrough? That Jesus didn't ask him to relinquish his finances. Jesus didn't ask him to say, "You need to restore, you know, what you stole from people." He didn't do that. It's simply just by being in him that something in Zacchaeus cried out and said, "God, everything I have, if I've defrauded anyone, I'm going to restore those things fourfold." It was entirely of his own accord. So could it be that sometimes we're not experiencing victory in sin because we're not prioritizing being with Jesus? And we know the scripture says that in his presence, there is freedom. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So could it be that some of the things that we've battled with for a long time, some of the things that we've prayed about, or some of the things that we've journeyed with people, or people have been discipling us, could it be that maybe it's when we prioritize being with Jesus that we would see those things or those shackles breaking from us? So Jesus didn't have to arm wrestle Zacchaeus for anything, right? It's simply just by being with him that something in his heart just shifted. So Titus 2, verse 11 to 12 says the following. "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." That we are saved, but we are continually also being saved. Right? So God has a desire, man, to make sure that everything in us that's weighing us down, it's holding us back from fully finding ourselves in him. He wants to break every single one of those things so that at the end of the day, we may be in a place where we desire to be with Jesus. Does this make sense? So I want to ask you once again, how strong is your desire to be with Jesus? And maybe for a couple of moments as I land this, let's just close our eyes. And I want to take you back to just the place of, for some of us who do know God, where you found salvation. I want you to think about those early days of your walk with Jesus. And I want, in a sense, for you to just put yourself in the shoes of however you were old, and just to think about your quiet times. Just how faithful and life-filled those quiet times were. I want you to think back at how you were excited to find yourself in the presence of Jesus. I want you to think of the first revelations, the first glimpses that you would have of the Word of God, and how it would excite your inner being, how you would not want to wait to be in His presence or to pray or to read a verse. I want you to reconnect with those times again where you read a simple Bible verse and then you saw something in the Bible verse, or you saw a word, and as you saw that word, something in your heart just melted and you said, oh Jesus, you are so beautiful, you are so glorious, you are so wonderful. And I want to bring you into the today and the now. Is how does your life look like now? Is that same passion, that same zeal, that same desire, that same I can't wait to be with him, is it still there? Or have you graduated? Have we become self-reliant? Have we become self-dependent? Are we at a place where we think we can do this thing? Or am I running on last year's revelation? Am I running off old manner? Old ways that he's revealed himself? I want to say that God desires in this season for each and every single one of us to actually find him afresh. I honestly believe with everything in my heart that God wants to reveal himself in ways that we can only dream that we would see him. And in John 1, John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I want to say, are you at a place in your life right now where you're continually beholding God? Has it become convenient or easy to just make excuses, to just go through life, to not prioritize times with him? Or is there still a burning desire for you to be with him? So the first thing I would love to do is I will just want to just take a bit of time to just pray. Just for people with every eye closed, I don't want to put anyone on the spot tonight. I want to say that if, you know, you feel like this word is speaking to you tonight and that you are at a place where you say, Godfrey, I know God. I've been walking with him for a long time. But if I am just honest with myself, that there's no pursuit of God in my life anymore. I'm not pursuing God as I used to pursue him. I know that actually something is lacking and something is missing and he's actually nudging at my heart to say, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. So can I ask that if that is you, can you just raise your hand? I would just love to just pray with you. Just love to pray with you. Just keep your hands up. I want to see you're not alone. There are many hands that are raised up. There are many hands that are raised up. Just going to pause for a second. I know there's many hands that are raised up, but if there's still more people tonight where you say, man, I want God to just come and touch something in my heart tonight to again be at that place where I desire him. Where actually I want to be with him, that I'm not forced to be with him. I want to. Can you just raise your hand? And I'm just going to pray right now. So Father, we just want to come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I'm just reminded, Father, of Jeremiah that says it's like a fire that is shut up in his bones, that every time when he wants to keep quiet, Lord God, it's like a fire that is shut up in the bones that he actually can't help himself but to proclaim the. And I pray, Father, tonight, would you come and touch our hearts? Would you come and just do something in our hearts, Lord? Would you just shift our hearts once again, Father, to just be at a place where we desire you? Father, we recognize tonight that in and of ourselves, we are incapable actually to desire you. That it's actually you working in our hearts, Lord God, that you're able to turn our hearts in such a way, Father, that we actually do desire you. So I pray tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you just again come and descend, Lord God, into our hearts. Would you come again and just fill us, Lord God, with a desire to be with Jesus, with a hunger and a thirst to want to be with him, God, whether it's in the morning, whether it's in the evening, whether it's through our days, whether it's between meetings, whether it's with children, whether it's with busy schedules, God, would you again renew a fresh desire for us to be with you? Oh God, as your bride, we desire to meet with you. Lord, we desire to see your glory. We desire to see your beauty. We desire to see how beautiful you are. So I pray tonight in the name of Jesus, Father, would you awaken something in our hearts tonight? I pray, would you just again raise an expectation, Lord God, for us, Lord God, to be with you. And I pray, Father, would you encourage us that when we find you, God, even in this next days to come, that when we seek you, God, would you unleash your presence over us, Father, that we will find you. Oh God, I pray for testimonies of just new glimpses of Jesus. Lord, I pray for fresh testimonies of how beautiful you are. Lord, I pray, Father, even for this Wednesday when we come together in Calm, Lord God, to come with fresh revelation that, oh man, I just saw Jesus in a way, way different light. Something in my heart actually wants him, desires him, wants to be with him. We pray for that, Lord. And then secondly, I want to pray for a second group of people. That if you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that we can only seek Jesus if we have a relationship with him. And can I say that even before you seek him, he's already seeking you. So maybe you're a visitor tonight, or you came here for the first time, or you don't even know why you came tonight. Maybe that is God who just orchestrated things in such a way that he wanted you to hear this word, and he wants you to know right now that he is after your heart, that he loves you, that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin so that you might move into fullness of life with him. So I want to say, if you're here tonight and you know that you don't have a relationship with God and you desire right now to just have that relationship with him, can you just, with every eyes closed, can you just slip your hand up? If there's anyone in here that doesn't know Jesus, anyone that knows that you know that you know that you know that you don't know him, you are not in a relationship with him, you don't have to be ashamed. No one is going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything like that. I just simply want to pray a prayer for you tonight. Or maybe you are sitting in this space and you used to walk with God, but if you're honest with yourself, you have backslidden. That actually Jesus is not, you know, the priority of your life. Actually, your life doesn't revolve around him at all. So maybe that is you tonight. So if there's anyone like that tonight, where you know that you used to walk with God and you don't walk with him, can you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. So someone will come up to you just now and come pray with you. So let's just pause. You're not alone. So can I just ask once more before we go on, is there anyone else? Is there anyone else tonight that you know that you used to walk with God? But if you're honest with yourself, you know that you're not in a relationship with him anymore. Man, and he desires you. He loves you. He loves you. He wants to abide in you. He wants to pursue you. He wants to show you just how beautiful he is. He wants to lavish his mercy and his grace and his love over you. Man. So Father, we just want to come and Lord, I want to pray for just the two gentlemen that raised their hands tonight, God. Our Father, we come and we rejoice with heaven tonight. Our Lord, we thank you that you are the one who pursues our hearts, God. We thank you that you sent your son to die for us, God, that you made a sacrifice once and for all, God, that we may be reconciled with you, God. Now, thank you, Father, for our two brothers right now who just recommitted their lives to you and said, we have a desire to be with you, Jesus. And I pray, Father, tonight, would you come and would you make your dwelling in their lives, God? I pray, would you come, Father, would you just birth a desire in them, Father, to be with you, Father, to be in a relationship with them. Lord, I pray as your word says in Galatians 2:20, Father, that they've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer them who lives, but Christ who lives in them. And that the life that they now live in the flesh, they live by faith in the Son of God who died for them and who gave himself for them. So we thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Oh, Lord, and we rejoice for lives that will never, ever be the same again. Lord, we rejoice for lives that are transformed from the kingdom of darkness into your marvelous light, God. We rejoice for lives, God, of people who are blind but now can see. We rejoice, God, in the lives of people who are dead but now are alive in Jesus. We rejoice, Lord. We thank you for salvation. Oh, God, and I pray just like Zacchaeus, would you come? And would you tonight, Father, just come and stay, Lord God, in the houses of their hearts. In the name of Jesus. We honor you, God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord. So can I just ask that we just make sure that we just pray with those two brothers.
and we just explain to them just once more just what it is that just happened now. Can we just maybe give a round of applause to Jesus, man? You know, sometimes we get used to people just raising their hands and just, you know, responding to, and we shouldn't get used to that. It's a miracle. It is a miracle. And I want you to think of your own life just before you came to God, how it looked and how He came into your life and how He just shook everything up and how He transformed you. So can I maybe just ask, Dini, if that is okay, can I just ask the worship team just to come up? Can we just maybe just in this kind of response of pursuing God, can we just right now, just one song? We won't go longer, you know, than what it is necessary, but can we just maybe with this saying, God, we want to almost come in a prophetic sense to say, this is our first step to say, we want to pursue with everything that is within us. Is that okay? So let us all stand and just go into this one song of worship, and then we will just end our time together.